The following production is part of the We Be Geeks podcast collective.
From days long ago, from uncharted regions of the universe, comes a legend.
The dream that came through a million years, that lived on through all the tears.
It came here, the Fandom Nexus.
Fabulous secret powers were revealed to our host as he plugged in his microphone.
I have a podcast!
Here he is, your Spider-Pan, Jeremy.
Hello, hello. Yes, this is I, your Spider-Pan Jeremy, here back with you again for some more fun in the Fandom Nexus. Although this will be a slightly different kind of fun because we're going to pay tribute to George Wendt, who passed away last week. I meant to have an episode out to you a little sooner than this, but I did have to get a few things arranged. I needed some help from some other voices to put together something special for y'all for later in the show. Also, we're going to mark 45 years, I believe, of 35 years, 35 years of, it's the 45th year. Okay, yes, the 45th year of some of the Empire Strikes Back. I was trying to think, like, am I really that old? And yes, I am. I actually just had a birthday. I am now 48 years old, and I was 3 years old when this movie came out. So I had to do some math in my brain, and like, I can't believe it's been this many years. I've also now been married for 22 years, and we celebrated that over the weekend as well. Wife and I had a kind of a swell time, actually did a little bit of bird watching just for fun. Went through a federal sort of a reserve kind of place up north and overheated the car because you're driving around kind of a little bit of a marshland and some water and everything, and we were scooting forward with the engine running, then we'd stop with the engine running, and we idled and idled and idled and scooted forward and scooted forward so much that we overheated the car, had to turn the engine off, open the hood, and sit there for a while. And then we were allowed to do 25 miles an hour on that road, and we did. We did 25 miles an hour just to keep the engine moving and keep some air blowing past the engine. So I think part of the problem is we weren't running the air conditioner because I was trying to save gas, you know, so I was rolling down the windows. Plus, with the windows down, we could hear the birds. And we still had some fun with it, but it was kind of a crazy weekend for us, Memorial Day weekend between our anniversary and a birthday. So it's been kind of a wild time. So I didn't quite get everything together as quickly as I wanted. We have not gotten a chance to even do a Watching Movies with My Pastor, which, hey, have you been listening to Watching Movies with My Pastor or even watching on YouTube? That is where me and Pastor Philip, who has frequently been on this show, we watch a movie and commentate on the movie and share any spiritual insights and any funny things that come to mind as we go along. We think we're kind of funny together. We're just kind of weird because we've known each other forever. So that show is also, hopefully you'll enjoy that one as well. I'm still growing that one, like I've been rebuilding this over here. That had been the plan, was those two tributes and the celebrating anniversary. But even Phil Robertson has just passed away even more recently. But I don't really have a good tribute for that prepared, other than to say that I'm sure he is happy, happy, happy in heaven. So we'll get on with our regular show from that point on. So what have I been watching? Well, I'm still trying to watch Daredevil Born Again. I think I've gotten the chance to watch like two episodes. Other than that, I'm still, I watch a lot of YouTube videos. I need to watch a lot more TV. I'm planning to watch, and I meant to have them all watched, but all of the Mission Impossible movies. I've seen at least the first four of them, but I don't remember the third and fourth one as well because I've only seen them one time. But I started over, and I just haven't finished watching them all, so I can't get out and see the new Mission Impossible movie yet. But I do want to get out and check it out, but I kind of need to catch up. So that is kind of my plan. But what have I been playing? Final Fantasy V, and I'm planning to get a platinum on that one, and I looked over at Final Fantasy VII. I've been debating as I've been going through all of the games in order. Do I want to come back and play VII again? Because I've played through VII, and I looked and I was like, there's only a few things I haven't done to get a platinum on the now this isn't the remake or rebirth. This is Final Fantasy VII as they re-released it for the PlayStation 4. And there's just a couple of things I haven't done. So I'm using some tips to make sure I get the best bromance where I can get Barrett to hang out with me on the Ferris wheel or carousel ride or no. Yeah, it's a Ferris wheel. Yes, that one. You all know what I'm talking about if you've played the game. And then also the other things to achieve is to max out a character to level 99, which I just haven't spent as enough time grinding to do. So I'm like, all right, if I grind and grind away, I'll do that. And while I'm grinding, I'll probably get the other achievement. It has to get the maximum amount of gil, which is the money in the Final Fantasy world, or worlds, I should say. So I figure if I go through and I do that and I get my best bromance, and then, of course, I'll be powerful enough to take on the emerald and ruby weapons, which I actually haven't done. So I'm going to make sure I know everything I need to know to do that as well. And then that'll be the last few achievements I need, and I will win a platinum trophy for that one as well. And then we'll just see about with 8 if I can manage that one, because I'm pretty sure I can do it with 5. The old pixel ones are you just mainly want to try to do everything. Although it gets more complicated every game I get of trying to how I'm going to do all the things in there. So 5 has been a little more tricky. But what I've been doing is I can play 7 downstairs as I'm kind of settling in to go to sleep. And so I'm kind of just working a little bit on it when I'm just casual, just kind of working my way to bed. So I'll just go, you know, do a few things, go to the next save and move on. And then on my regular playtime, if I get time to play after work, I play 5. I didn't really get a lot of time on 5 though over the weekend because we were trying to do some fun things, because I mentioned, you know, anniversary and birthday and that kind of thing. So that's what I've been watching and that's what I've been playing. There's been some news that if I was going to cover news, I'll just tell you to get onto our Facebook group, of course. If you search for I believe our group is under the Neverland Podcast. If you go to facebook.com/groups/Neverland Podcast, or if you search for that, you'll find us. We also do have a fan page under the Fandom Nexus over on Facebook. Feel free to join that one as well, but we have a lot more interaction. I can do a lot more in the group, and I've been sharing news of different things as it has happened. And I mean, we do have a complete cast for Harry, Hermione and Ron for the upcoming Harry Potter series. We do have that cast, and I shared that today. Also here in the last few days or last couple of weeks, we have heard that the entire Voltron film has been shot, and now of course it's going to go into post-production and all the effects will go in there, and I'm not sure about when the release date it is coming for that one, but I hope it turns out to be good. Also, Daniel Benedict, who we had on the show a while back on his second attempt to run the GoFundMe, he has got all the money he needs now to make The Fall of Grayskull 2. That sounded weird. Fall of Grayskull 2, Rise of the Horde. So that is a go. It is going to happen, and I'll keep tabs on that one. I don't know how long it's going to take for him to complete filming that and do all of the editing and the effects and all the work he's going to have to put into this. But he really wants to make this a full tilt theatrical style production, and he'll probably be able to take it to a few conventions and things like that. You know, it's not going to be a theatrical release, but it may be better than the theatrical release of Master of the Universe that we are going to get. So Daniel did a pretty good job with The Fall of Grayskull, which if you go and check it out, it's good. I will warn you now, it's more violent than you might have expected at a couple of things, and it is pretty dark. But he's decided that this one he wants to have something his kids can enjoy. So it's a lighter tone, and he wants it to match more like the classic 80s, a little bit more the feel of the cartoon, I think, from what he's doing. So that's moving forward. And that's pretty much the news that I have for you, even though I didn't hit the button for a news topic and I'm not really getting into a lot of detail on these things. But I wanted to tell you this stuff is there and you can read more about it over on our Facebook group. See, that's why I was telling you about this. OK, well, let's take a quick moment to talk about Dubby. Now, Dubby, if you go to neverlandpodcast.com, you're going to see some big white letters of Dubby. Dubby is, if you happen to be a gamer, you need a good drink and you want some energy and you want some healthy energy that's not going to give you the jitters, Dubby has all the stuff for you. If you use that link there, I get a discount, or you can use the discount code Neverland if you go over to the Dubby.gg. Order whatever kind of flavors you want. They even have cups. They have all kinds of different things for you, so you can get a great drink there to play, you know, even if you just need it for work. Get you something cool to drink. It's just a mix. You mix it with water and you enjoy. Simple as that. Put some ice in it if you want to, you know, nice cold drink. It's better for you than a lot of the stuff. I drink way too much soda, and I probably shouldn't. I should probably drink more of these Dubby drinks. I do drink a good amount of water though. I am trying to be better about things. Also, of course, don't forget about Podgagement, which is Daniel J. Lewis's fantastic program. If you go over to his website, you'll find a link for there at neverlandpodcast.com, by the way, for his site as well. I do, of course, get a little bit of a kickback. It does kind of help me out. But Daniel J. Lewis is an award-winning podcaster. He really knows his stuff. He's a brilliant guy. And about all the features you can want, including getting all your reviews sent to you through your email, is right there. In fact, if you send me some reviews, and I even got a link there that you can go even through the Podgagement's website, and you can leave reviews of the how you love the podcast. I could use some reviews. I will read them on there. We haven't gotten a review in quite some time, unfortunately. And then it does help us out here. If you can't really support us on Patreon or anything, leaving a review if you haven't done so already does help spread the word about us, and we do appreciate it. So if you would do that, and I would be very, very happy and appreciative for you to do that. All right, but now let's get into some major content here. Okay, so we mentioned now The Empire Strikes Back. 45 years ago, May 21st, 1980. Wow. This is a plot twist that shocked the world. Here's a few fun facts here. The famous I Am Your Father line was kept so secret that even most of the cast didn't know about it until the premiere. The line in the script was Obi-Wan killed your father, and only Mark Hamill was told the truth just before filming. But of course, his reaction would make sense for anyone who was just watching the filming to have David Prowse say Obi-Wan killed your father. And they wanted to catch everybody off guard, but people did spoil it for other people after they saw it. Philip has even shared where his cousin came out of The Empire Strikes Back and before Philip got a chance to see it, told him, oh my goodness, Darth Vader is Luke's father. Uh-oh, did I just spoil it for you? It's 45 years old. You've probably seen it by now. And if you haven't seen it, you at least probably knew that little detail. Now, George Lucas self-financed this movie. Lucas took a huge risk by funding the film himself after earning the profits from A New Hope. Well, to us, that's just Star Wars. But he did, you know, before getting Empire out there, they did put the episode 4 part on there and then put A New Hope as an extra featured title. That did happen with a later release of Star Wars, and it gave him full creative control, and it did pay off. He was getting creative control even on his original films. And so when he started selling toys and merchandise, that went right into his pocket, and he was able to use it to continue making the films as he saw fit. Now, Yoda was actually a last minute addition. It was a brand new puppet created by Frank Oz, who also, of course, performed Yoda and voiced him, you know, with that. Lucas had to fight to get Oz recognition in the credits, and he even tried to get him an Oscar nomination because Oz was amazing as Yoda. We all know it. And there was some concern, like, is this going to work? Can we make people believe this is a living being and it's not going to come across as a Muppet? And Frank Oz was able to create a character that We believed him. I mean, we kind of knew he's a puppet, I guess, in the back of our heads. But when you watch the movie, you don't think about him being a puppet. That's just Yoda. He did such a fantastic job. Now, the Wampa scene was added for a reason, because Mark Hamill had some facial scars actually having a car accident in between the films. So the Wampa attack at the beginning was partly designed to explain his altered appearance. And he does look a bit different. He almost looks like he's quite a bit older, and he would have been a little bit older. But yeah, his face is different from the injury. And so they made it to where he'd been attacked by that Wampa, which made for just an interesting a bit of adventure to have in the movie. So it really kind of added a lot. Now, this is Boba Fett's big screen debut, but we first saw him in the Star Wars Holiday Special. This is a lot of stuff I bet you know, but the Holiday Special that really marked his, the Empire was his cinematic debut, but we've got to see him in a cartoon, of course, in the Holiday Special. If you've gotten to see that on YouTube or anywhere else, maybe you've never seen the Holiday Special, and frankly, it is as bad as they say, but the cartoon was kind of cool. And when they introduced Boba Fett, you didn't know what side of things he really was on in the cartoon, so it made for an interesting story. So if you didn't know who Boba Fett was at the time, it would have been a completely different experience, I suppose, would be the word I'm looking for. But really, this helps cement his legendary status despite actually having some pretty limited screen time. Now, of course, the special editions of A New Hope, we get to see him briefly walking by Jabba. All right, now George Wendt. Now, we've got some legacy highlights and some fun facts for you there. Of course, he's best known for Cheers, playing Norm. He played Norm Peterson for all 11 seasons from 1982 to 1993, and he always had this entrance, Norm, everybody's holler, and it became actually one of the most iconic sitcom catchphrases either. And there you can watch, Paramount Plus, I believe, has, or is it Peacock? I think Peacock is the one. If you go to their YouTube channel, they have a video actually that they've collected all of the Norm, because he always had something of what was going on. Norm, how you doing, buddy? And he'd always have some sort of one-liner as he's walking from one side of the bar over into his stool where he always sat next to Cliff. Now, Norm's real job actually constantly changed, kind of like Chandler in Friends. You never knew exactly what Chandler's job was, other than he was in an office. And Norm was kind of similar, except for he had different jobs. And over the years, his job description included being an accountant, a house painter, and even a beer taster, depending upon what the joke was going to be. Now, Wendt was born in Chicago, studied at Jesuit-run Rockhurst College, and actually got kicked out of Notre Dame with a zero GPA one semester for skipping too many classes. Now, that I understand. When I started a community college, nobody was making me go to class, and I did fail a couple because somebody would say, hey, you want to go bowling? Or you want to go shoot some pool? You want to go do whatever? And I was like, okay, cool. So I did miss some classes. Plus, I was struggling. We did an algebra a very weird way where we were graphing algebra. And I just could not get a handle on that. It was weird. I just couldn't do it. So he was actually a member of the Second City comedy troupe, and that also launched the careers of Bill Murray, John Belushi, oh, and Tina Fey. Of course, Tina Fey comes along later. Now, he famously played Bob Swirsky in the Saturday Night Live superfan sketches, Da Bears, and that's a role that perfectly captured his Chicago pride. He also did have a cameo in the 1985 cult horror film House, which I haven't seen, but I've seen House 2. He also voiced characters in The Simpsons, Family Guy, and even on Sabrina the Teenage Witch. Now, of course, there was an animated series of Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and that's what they refer to. Now, we do want to mention, you know, John Ratzenberger actually having a role in The Empire Strikes Back, which was also kind of fun. So there's another Cheers connection. But let's kind of go through and retell the story of The Empire Strikes Back, right? So space, it's cold, it's vast, and it's full of daddy issues. So we open the scene on the icy planet of Hoth, where the rebels are hiding out like galactic groundhogs. Luke Skywalker decides to go on a solo snow stroll and promptly gets sucker punched by a Wampa, basically the abominable snowman with an anger management problem. Thankfully, he cuts off the beast's arm with his lightsaber, which is very on brand for the Skywalker family. Meanwhile, Han Solo is trying to lead the rebellion because of unfinished business, aka a bounty hunter who's been blowing up his DMs. But before he can go, he saves Luke's frostbitten behind by stuffing him inside of a dead Tauntaun. It's gross, but warm. Think of it as an intergalactic sleeping bag with a smell that never washes out. And suddenly, AT-ATs, AT-ATs, whatever you want to call them, the Empire finds the rebels and launches an attack with the mechanical camels of doom. The rebels flee and our heroes split up. Luke heads to Dagobah for Jedi training with Yoda, who is basically a wise green Muppet on a swampy keto diet. And Han, Leia, Chewbacca, and C-3PO head off in the Millennium Falcon, which continues to break down like a 1992 minivan. Now, on Dagobah, Yoda trains Luke by giving cryptic life advice and making him do handstands in the mud. Luke whines a lot, as he's typically wont to do, but eventually starts using the Force like a space-age wizard. Then he has a vision of his friends in trouble, and despite Yoda's warnings, decides to run off and play hero. Meanwhile, the Falcon crew takes a detour to Cloud City, run by Lando Calrissian, gambler, fashion icon, and part-time trader. Vader shows up, double-crosses everyone, and uses Han as a carbonite popsicle to trap Luke. Luke arrives, fights Vader, loses a hand, classic Skywalker move, and here's the most famous plot twist in cinema. No, I am your father. Translation, hi, I'm the villain and your dad. Surprise! Luke reacts with dignity and strength by throwing himself off of a building. Fortunately, he does survive, gets a new hand, and joins the rebellion to stare dramatically out at space window with Leia. The film ends on a literal cliffhanger. Han is frozen, Vader is someone's dad, and Yoda is somewhere sipping soup, shaking his head. Now, of course, that was a comedic retelling. Of course, The Empire Strikes Back that I had a little help writing up. So I hope you enjoyed that and had a few laughs. But we're not done with the fun. When we come back from these messages, I have a very special, we'll call it an episode of Cheers for you. We'll call it a special episode of Cheers, the name of which is The Empire Cheers Back. We'll come right back to that, like I said, after these messages.
A long time ago, in a bar where everybody knows your name. Interior Cheers, evening.
The regulars are gathered at the bar as usual. Norm enters to applause. Norm!
Hey, Woody. I'll take something cold, frothy, and strong enough to freeze me in carbonite.
You look like you got attacked by a wampa.
I feel like I got attacked by my boss. Same difference.
The door swings open. Enter Darth Vader, accompanied by Boba Fett. Whoa, we usually don't allow guys in here who strangle their co-workers.
I find your lack of cocktails disturbing.
Vader gestures, and a beer floats into his hand using the Force.
Oh, come on. This isn't Mos Eisley Cantina. This is a respectable establishment.
You will pour me another.
Yes, well, maybe one more. For science.
You know there, Sammy, the Empire actually uses specialized atmospheric compressors on Hoth to reduce the frostbite index by 12.4%.
The only thing you're compressing is my will to live.
Meanwhile, at the end of the bar, Han Solo and Leia are mid-argument. So, I'm leaving. You want me to stay? Just say it.
I'd rather kiss a Wookiee.
I once kissed a Wookiee. Not proud of it. But hey, it was Mardi Gras.
Luke runs in, out of breath, in a full flight suit.
Guys, I just saw my dad, and he's Vader!
Tough luck, kid. Mine just sold insurance. Actually, statistically speaking, one in every 12 Jedi turns out to have severe parental trauma.
Vader approaches Luke.
Luke, I am your father.
Woody says, wow, that makes bring your kid to work today real awkward, huh?
I'm here on business, Sam. There is no whole job for that game of Sabacc you cheated in. Time to pay up.
He's there, Mandalorian. This is Boston, not Tatooine, and we have a guy for this. Sam turns towards the back of the room and shouts, Pac-Man, you're up! Pac-Man zips across the floor, gobbling pretzels and heading straight for Boba Fett and Vader. Waka 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 waka. Vader and Fett back out of the bar in confusion.
This is not the arcade I was looking for.
Man, I hate power pellets.
Who knew dots could save the day?
In case you can't tell the difference between my Sam and my Woody, this is Woody. It's his 45th anniversary, too. Guess the Force is with him. And scene. Big thank you to Corby Stevens, corbystevens.com. He's available for voiceover work and guest spots on Christian faith, sci-fi, and pop culture. Also, thanks to my wife, all for providing voices for what you just heard. And yes, you heard correctly there. Pac-Man is 45 years as well. Released May 22nd, 1980 in Japan, developed by Namco, and later released in North America by Midway. Created by Toru Iwatani, and I'm probably saying that wrong, who wanted to make a game that appealed to women as well as men, thus avoiding violent space shooters. He was inspired by a pizza with one slice missing, or possibly a simplified version of the Japanese kanji for mouth, which is kind of square. You'd have to look it up. This became the highest grossing arcade game of all time, earning an estimated $2.5 billion in quarters by the 1990s. And Pac-Man was inducted into the World Video Game Hall of Fame in 2015 and remains a pop culture icon to this day. And he is really the first gaming mascot. This predates Mario and Sonic, even Crash Bandicoot, because Crash Bandicoot, they tried to make him the mascot of the PlayStation. Remember that? And he's still considered one of the first true, you know, Pac-Man is still considered one of the first true video game mascots. Now, there is a bit of a home console history that's kind of funny, because in 1982, we did get an Atari 2600 version. It was hugely anticipated, but it has been widely criticized for the poor graphics and the gameplay. It still sold over 7 million copies, so it was still the best-selling Atari 2600 game. And I remember we had this, and it was still fun to play, but, you know, I was a little kid. I was just glad to be able to play Pac-Man. And yeah, the maze was different, and I mean, the sounds are kind of uniquely their own. It did not match the sounds of the arcade game, but it was still fun to play with. And, you know, I had a method to my madness. But the edges of the screen were nothing but these little squares. They were all the same thing. You could kind of pass down and around. But, you know, it was still fun to play. But Pac-Man has actually been ported to pretty much every gaming system ever made, from the Nintendo Entertainment System to mobile phones, and there's even some smartwatches with Pac-Man out there. In 1982, we did get produced by Hanna-Barbera, and it was on ABC, the first TV cartoon that was based on a video game. And this, of course, had Pac-Man, had Miss Pac-Man. She was called Pepper, and their Pac family battling ghost monsters in a surreal Looney Tunes style plot. There was even a very famous Christmas special and a Halloween special. Pac-Man was voiced by Marty Ingalls, and his wife, Carol Lawrence, voiced Pepper, you know, as I said, Mrs. Pac-Man. So there were toys, there were puzzles, there were lunchboxes, there were clothing, there was a breakfast cereal, which I never got to eat that. I would like to have tried it. Maybe they'll bring it back sometime. It's the 45th anniversary. Let's bring back Pac cereal, right? And there was even a board game, which I have seen, like, I think at Target that they brought that back. I would kind of like to get it. You'd have to go around and you have a Pac-Man thing. You go around and grab marbles. But yeah, that was kind of a thing. Yeah, I think I knew some people that might have had it, and I kind of vaguely remember it. You would play on the maze, and you'd have little ghost monsters and a Pac-Man and everything. And I think you were working collectively to try to be the one to collect the most marbles. I think there might have been multiple like Pac-Man for players, and there were different colors for Pac-Man. I'm trying to remember everything from that was a long time ago. So you also had the Buckner and Garcia novelty song in 1982, Pac-Man Fever, that actually hit number 9 on the Billboard Hot 100 and went gold, proving the little yellow dot muncher had some serious mainstream appeal. So now in Japan, the ghosts are named Fickle, Chaser, Ambusher, and Stupid, which actually describes their behavior. Now, there are some real weird quirks. I guess you could call it their AI, but this is basically their programming. But each ghost in the original arcade version has a unique strategy to trap Pac-Man that makes the game actually a lot deeper than it appears. And there's people who have mastered that. And I don't think it always works on every version, but I've seen the arcade version. There is a definite pattern you can use with Pac-Man, and you can just keep going up the levels. I've tried to do something like that on I guess it's a PlayStation 4 version mainly that I do have it on Pac-Man, so I can play it on my PS5 because it's a PS4 version. And that pattern does not seem to work, because I've noticed a lot of times as you get to certain spots and you can just sit in a spot and no ghost monster will ever come and get you in the certain spot. Did not work. They came and they got to me. So I think the programming is different on each version. But the arcade, apparently this still would work. But yeah, if you're trying to do it on your PlayStation, probably not going to work so well. But it is nice that it is available to play on all those other systems. All right, as we wrap things up, I do want to remind you, or rather thank, Karen Kennedy, Ricky Pope of Christian Nerds Unite, and Darren Wilhite of the Will Height and Wall Show for helping me out with the introduction to the show. I know I thank them every week because I'm using the same introduction. It's only fair. Don't forget, you can email us, podcast@neverlandpodcast.com. Give me something better than all the junk mail I keep getting in there, because having that podcast that public, I get so much garbage in that thing. We are on X or Twitter as Neverland PCast. You can find my personal one in there, too, if you go looking for it. If you want to follow me, that's fine, too. I only post mainly when there's new episodes up, though. I need to probably do more things on X. Why not? And, of course, I mentioned the Facebook group and fan page before. We do have, of course, the ability to join the Neverlanders at neverlandpodcast.com. You can become an official Lost Boy or Pixie. We have Pixies because girls are too clever and they don't get lost. You can find also links there for Patreon, or just go to patreon.com/neverlandpodcast. There you will get ad-free versions of the show. You'll still have me doing my sponsored little bits, but you won't have those extra ads I put at the beginning, end, and middle of the show. Also, if you don't want to have those ads in there, Red Circle, who I run my podcast through, gives me the option to create exclusive versions of the podcast. And if you become an exclusive member, same thing as becoming a patron, or a patron at Patreon, you will also get ad-free versions of the show that way. Take your pick. The only difference really is the Patreon. I can also provide some video occasionally of when I have an interview or stuff, which I have to find new ways to interview people because Skype is no more, and Skype was my go-to. And there are other options, but I'm trying to find more free options. So it'll be a while before I can have more guests on the show. I got to figure that out. I might have to use Facebook Messenger or something like that. I don't know, for free, because they do limit you when you do. They told you to use Microsoft Teams instead of Skype. And it limits my calls to a half an hour, which would be fine if I was recording the entire half hour, but I tend to sometimes to talk to my guests before I start recording. So I'm still figuring that out. So once I get it figured out, we'll be able to have some guests and do some different things again. But I'm kind of having a problem with that. But no copyright infringement is intended, and copyright is held by respective owners. Content is shared for review and commentary purposes and is under fair use license. So now, until you hear from us again, or you go and get to watch a movie with me and my pastor, get lost in an adventure. And we'll talk to you next time.
Don't you deserve a Medicare plan you can count on? Well, you can count on a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. Enjoy reliable coverage and low out-of-pocket costs with a Medicare Advantage plan from United Healthcare. And if you have a chronic condition like diabetes, chronic heart failure, or a cardiovascular disorder, you may qualify for a United Healthcare Complete Care plan with plans that fit your life today and as your needs change tomorrow. Find out more about United Healthcare plans at uhc.com/Medicare.
Don't miss the biggest Maytag sale of the year at Lowe's. You'll find the Maytag appliances you need, when you need them, at a great price. Plus, when you buy two select laundry appliances, you'll get up to a $100 bonus via instant rebate. Shop Maytag at Lowe's. We help, you save. Offer valid through 531. See store for pricing and offer details. Advertise savings on all major Maytag appliances through Maytag.com and participating retailers. Prices may vary. Additional terms and conditions apply.